Welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And as you're listening today, I have a guest, Susan Dugan. And what we're going to be talking about, I know you're probably surprised, we've been listening to that workshop of Ken Wapnick's for weeks now, and we're still not finished. I think there's still a couple of shows that we're doing, and man, I'm loving it. It's the experience of A Course in Miracles. But today, I do have a guest, Susan Dugan. So we are going to go to the ACIM workbook and lesson 193, which is All Things Are Lessons God Would Have Me Learn. And just like so many of the other titles of lessons, at first you know, it's so easy to misinterpret what this really means. And so we're going to dive into this and really take it apart in terms of why does God want, you know, me to learn this lesson, and why are all things lessons that God would have me learn? But that's what we're going to talk about today. And I would remind you, I know that many of you have listened to this show for years, and so you're very familiar with Susan. She is a student of A Course in Miracles, and she also is a small group, or I shouldn't say small group. Now that you're on Zoom, you probably have lots and lots of people in your Tuesday night gathering. I think that's wonderful that you're doing it on Zoom. So on that, Susan is an author as well as a small group, or there again, not small group, but as a group facilitator, that, and she's been doing that for years, talking to people, taking them through the workbook, through the text, or through the manual for teachers in A Course in Miracles. But she's also written three books, Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. And she's also the proud mama of a new little puppy. So yes, who knows? The puppy may even join us today.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, we'll hope not, but we'll see what happens if you hear those right. kind of noises. Could be my dog, could be Susan's puppy. But anyway, welcome, Susan. Thank you so much for coming and for suggesting Lesson 193.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, CA.
Oh, well, for me too. Just love talking about the course.
So
why did this lesson, why did this lesson come to you? Or why did you suggest it?
You know, I've been doing the, on my phone, the calendar daily lessons from the, you know, just listening to them in the morning. You can tune into them on the Foundation for A Course in Miracles website.
Uh-huh.
And it's just something that I, you know, kind of do as I'm getting ready in the morning, you know, normally. And so this was one of the lessons in the last week or so, I think. But all of the, and also I've been kind of focusing on the last 20 lessons of the first part of the workbook, or lesson 180 through 200, are really kind of the grand crescendo of the first part of the workbook. They're beautiful lessons. They're extraordinarily practical and helpful. And they kind of take all, you know, weave all of the themes of the workbook into these great lessons that really are, you know, focused on, as the entire first part of the workbook is, on really sort of teaching us how to apply the course in our daily lives and to allow the undoing of the guilt in our mind through forgiveness, through making our, assigning a new purpose to our days. Which is to, you know, instead of rooting ourselves more deeply in a dream of separation, that trying to make that real, but instead making our purpose to awaken from this dream and through making our lives a classroom of forgiveness by using Jesus, Holy Spirit, this part of our mind that sees things differently. And is outside the dream of separation and knows that in truth we never really, really did separate from our one loving source, from God, and that we're still all loved and loving despite our dreams of you know, sin, guilt, and fear, basically acting out that we're always doing, that seems to be, you know, all the conflict that we experience in our lives that seems to be happening to us. And we're always trying to defend ourselves against. So this lesson in particular struck me just because it's so, it's such a helpful reminder. And we're all facing right now a really difficult time for if you believe that you're a body in this world. We're really confronted by all of the things that we used in our lives to make us feel like we had some control over the dream have really been kind of stripped away by the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And the consequences of that, and the lack of ability to do any future planning, the complete uncertainty of when this will be manageable again, whether it will, the constant threat level that we always seem to be under, the way it doesn't seem to be, we can't seem to get this under control, the way people, refuse to sort of take the steps that would help us get things under control, the way leaders, many leaders don't, are shirking their responsibilities in leading around this. So we're challenged. We're challenged with our bodies. We're challenged in our relationships constantly. And so there really hasn't, I think it's the most pronounced time since I've been practicing the course. And I would say since I've been alive, seemingly alive here, that I've had to be, confronted so constantly by this fear for my own life, for the life of my loved ones, and also the challenge of day-to-day living, which seems so so constricted and limited right now and uncertain. So I think that the beauty of this lesson, all things are lessons God would have me learn. The whole point of the lesson is really that from the Course's perspective, there's no real hierarchy of illusions. Anything outside me that I think is compromising my peace is what I work with in my practice, is also an opportunity to heal my mind. It can be used for a different purpose. And that way, giving it that purpose and practice will bring me back to peace. There is a part of my mind that knows that nothing outside me really can take my peace away, and it's not really about the virus. It's not really about the people that whatever side of the mask issue you seem to be on, which has become an issue for some reason. But that's not really the problem. The problem is that I always, it's somewhere within my mind, I want to feel unfairly treated all the time, and that's because somewhere within my mind I believe that I'm guilty of really running away from home, separating from God, and the way that I try to feel better about that is to feel that I'm under attack, so that I can feel relatively less guilty about it. And we're all doing this. We're not aware we're doing it, but we're all blaming each other for this sort of buried guilt in the mind over the belief that we're no longer lovable by God. We're no longer okay. We deserve punishment. And so we have that in common, and really all things as course students, the path is that all things are lessons God would have me learn, not meaning that the lessons come from God, but meaning that the lessons, whatever is happening in my life, whatever seems to be troubling me outside myself, the relationships, the trials, the tribulations that I seem to be going through in my daily life, are all really the curriculum that I work with to help heal my mind of the belief that I'm under attack from something outside myself, and to realize that I have a choice to still experience peace no matter what the circumstances, the constantly changing circumstances of the dreams seem to be dishing up.
Mm-hmm.
So this lesson, I think, is ultimately extremely helpful and healing for remembering the real purpose of our lives is really about healing our own minds. That's all that we can really control, and that's all that we really need to focus on. It doesn't mean that we don't take the measures to take care of our bodies and to do what we need to do to normal people do. The course recommends a compromise approach in which we use as long as we believe we're bodies here in a world, we take the normal steps, which is a form of being kind to ourselves and others. But you know, at the level of the mind, we work with it there, and we work with the constant idea that, you know, I could see peace instead of this. This doesn't have the power to take my peace away. I can go through this with a different teacher and experience it much differently and much more peacefully.
Well, and so far, of all that you've said, the one thing that's really sticking in my mind is when you said assigning a new purpose to the day.
Yep.
And that's always what it is. It's always assigning a new purpose for the day. Right. And what is the purpose of this?
Yep.
What purpose
do I want to give it? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that we can do in every single moment. And even now, like even in my own head, it kind of turned me around a little bit because, of course, I wake up and, you know, when all the things start coming through my head and, you know, what have you got to do today? What is your purpose? And what have you got to get done? And what's on your list? And blah, 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 blah. And it's sort of like, what if I just woke up and said, okay, what is my purpose? I have the option of reassigning the
yeah.
value or the purpose of every single thing that I do. And I personally do think that is so important, especially right now. And maybe this is it, taking it back into the world. But so often when I find myself getting triggered, when I can just go, okay, what is that about? What mm-hmm. is the purpose? Why was that so upsetting that the piece of meat didn't cook like you thought it was going to, or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
What was the purpose here? Why are you being triggered? What's really going on? And that, I think, is a kind of a mindset that I'm definitely picking up from the Course, is instead of just getting triggered, saying, okay, what's this about?
Right.
Giving and you know, maybe I get to the point of giving it a new purpose, and maybe I don't. But just at least stopping and saying, I could see peace instead of this.
Right. And maybe I'm wrong about, you know, maybe I'm wrong about the cause of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. a way of, that we really, that is sort of the way we reassign the purpose, because we must be wrong. If the Course is constantly telling us that nothing outside us has the power to take our peace away. I mean, mm-hmm. ultimately, the Course is telling us there is nothing outside our mind at
yes.
all.
Yes.
That this is a dream. So
yes.
So I must be wrong about this. And there's a part of my mind that always sees peace, you know, that never took this seriously, that doesn't buy in to this dream of separation and sees everyone and everything only truly, which means with love, with complete forgiveness, with complete, you know, as completely innocent. So that can't be a part of my mind that acknowledges the strength of the dream or the strength of anything outside me, because outside me, it doesn't seem like anything is innocent, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And inside me, it doesn't seem like anything is innocent. So I must be wrong. And right now I can choose a different teacher, you know,
mm-hmm.
I can choose which part of my mind I want to listen to. Normally I'm choosing the ego, which is the part of my mind that does believe in separation and really does believe that I exist apart from God, but it's not my fault, and is always secretly trying to find someone who is at greater fault for
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And because that makes me feel relatively less guilty. And that's, you know, that passes for a good day in this world, when I feel less guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's crazy. I'm less guilty than you are. You know, it's a good day. I won.
Yes. But so, what did you win?
Right, right. So yeah, the you know, this idea of a classroom and this idea of purpose and changing my purpose, changing my mind is sort of the organizing principle of our lives, of our day. It's a new purpose that we're giving to our life, which, in, you know, my purpose had been rooting myself ever more deeply in this dream of separation and trying to, you know, jockey for the position of less guilty one in all my relationships. But now my purpose is to heal my mind. I want to learn that, you know, that I'm not guilty at all, and neither are you. I can't learn that I'm not guilty if I'm not willing to at least entertain the possibility that I'm wrong about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person or whatever I'm blaming it on, whoever or whatever I'm blaming it on.
Yes.
And we need help from a part of our mind that doesn't see it as one or the other, you know, that sees it as just one. You know, there's only one of us really in truth, and it's all loving. This idea of a guilty bad, you know, a bad self, was something we made up and we're acting out, but it's in a dream. So, you know, we have to be, we need a lot of help with this, and we question it lesson by lesson. That's what this lesson is talking about is it's not lessons, again, that anybody's bringing us. We're living out our script of all, you know, a part of the one decision-making mind, which the Course and Ken Wapnick talks about a lot, which is the part of our mind that's choosing between the ego or Jesus, Holy Spirit, that part of our mind, you know, that dreamed this up and took the side of the ego that it really happened, you know, decided to project all of that out into all these variations of all the different ways that this could play out in duality. And we're experiencing one of the, you know, a little segment of that right now that we chose to be in right now. At the level of the mind, not Susan and CA didn't choose it. You know, I'm not responsible for what I'm, the virus or the terrible relationship or what's happening to my body or, but I, you know, or the weather or the cyclone or the, you know, tsunami or, I mean, any of it, war, but I am responsible for my reaction to it. I'm 100% responsible for that. And that's the level at which we practice this. You know, that's our curriculum.
Right. Well, do you want to read some of this?
Sure. Yeah, I thought I might start with the second paragraph.
Okay. Although I kind of want to put in there the very first line, God does not know of learning.
Okay, why don't you read that one first?
Well, yeah. God does not know.
Because that's the level one statement. God doesn't, yeah. This
yeah
is,
God
this
does not know of learning, yet his will extends to what he does not understand, in that he wills the happiness his son inherited of him be undisturbed, eternal and forever gaining scope, eternally expanding in the joy of full creation, and eternally open and wholly limitless in him. This is his will, and thus his will provides the means to guarantee that it is done. So to me, because it's so easy to misinterpret that first line, all things are lessons God would have me learn. Because, you know, how often do we say that? Well, the universe is trying to teach me a lesson.
Right.
See,
right.
That's the background I come from. The universe is trying to teach me a lesson. The universe goes, what have we got for CA today? And so right off, they're saying, you know, God does not know of learning. And if you look at this, it's not so much that God has designed all these lessons, but that God's will for you is that you see everything as a lesson.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. Well, God really doesn't know anything about this. And the God says that, or the Course says that there is no world that God doesn't know about. God only knows the truth. And the truth is that God's will is undisturbed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we are still part of God, you know, dreaming of exile. So nothing that, you know, God is not endorsing any of this, but his will never changed. That's the truth. We made this up.
Right.
So God doesn't interfere with it, but God, you know, the Course gives us the image, the symbol of Jesus, Holy Spirit, as sort of the intermediary that meets us in the condition that we think we're in,
mm-hmm.
here in a world, right?
Mm-hmm.
That knows about the dream, but you know, doesn't participate in it, doesn't endorse it, knows it's not real, is outside the dream.
Right.
But still is aware that we're dreaming, that we think we're dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of helpful to us. But but God doesn't have anything to do with that, right?
Yes. Well, and like I said, I guess I want to really emphasize that, especially for our audience, because they listen to basically what I would consider spiritual radio. you know, metaphysical radio. But I hear that sentiment a lot, that somehow the universe is testing us, the universe is creating lessons for us, and that so there still is some overarching presence or knowledge or intellect that is judging whether or not we're good or bad. And that is so different than what the Course is saying is, I mean, once again, the image I love from the Course is that we're in our bedrooms having a nightmare and, you know, God is out there watching TV, you know, he's out there watching a football game or something. And he has no idea of the process and the journey and the struggle that we're going through as we have this nightmare. But it would be his will that we be happy, that we figure it out, that we wake up from the dream. Right. But in no way does Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit there again look down and go, oh, well, there's CA. Let's teach her a lesson.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't work that way in a Course.
Right, right. Well, we, you know, we didn't make a different will. We believe we made a different will. That's the whole problem. Is our belief that we made an alternate reality. And that never happened.
And there are different rules, yeah.
Right, right. So again, we're just, you know, we are still part of that undifferentiated oneness with our source, with God. There's no bodies. God is not a body. We're not bodies. We're part of that love, that all-loving, you know, eternal love. And nothing ever happened to change that. It was just a tiny mad idea that was already solved, but we're still dreaming the dream of what that would have been like.
Right.
Right. So,
all right. So now, do you want to go to paragraph two?
Sure. So God sees no contradictions. We see all these contradictions, right? No duality, you could say, instead of contradictions. Yet his son believes he sees them. So, you know, our body's eyes don't really see, but this is what we seem to be experiencing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe we see. We believe we're bodies. Thus, he has a need for one who can correct his erring sight and give him vision that will lead him back to where perception ceases. God does not perceive at all, yet it is he who gives the means by which perception is made true and beautiful enough to let the light of heaven shine upon it. It is he who answers what his son would contradict and keeps his sinlessness forever safe. So that again is, you know, God does not perceive at all, yet it is he who gives the means by which the perception is made true and beautiful enough. So the means is forgiveness, and the teacher, the intermediary, is Jesus' Holy Spirit, is the part of our mind that is there as our guide, is there as our teacher to help us see differently, right? Help us look at the dream with, and see that it's not real, but and lead us out of the dream ultimately, one step at a time. One illusion at a time, one lesson at a time.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and read the next one, which is, these are the lessons God would have you learn. His will reflects them all, and they reflect his loving kindness to the son he loves. Each lesson has a central thought, the same in all of them. The form alone is changed with different circumstances and events, with different characters and different themes, apparent but not real. They are the same in fundamental content. It is this: forgive, and you will see this differently. So there really is only one lesson God wants us to learn, and that is that we never left heaven. This whole thing is made up. Forgive, and you will see this differently. That's always the same lesson, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the form and the characters and the people, you know, whether it's a virus or the economic downturn or whatever it is, there's only one lesson.
One problem, one solution, right?
Yes.
The Course is, yes, that's right. Forgiveness is the answer to everything. It's the key to happiness. It's, it is forgiven, and you will see this differently. You will experience it differently. I can see peace instead of this.
Yes.
And I will see peace instead of this if I'm willing to you know, again, take those steps, use this as a classroom of forgiveness, use this as a lesson, which is to say, I must be wrong about the cause of my reaction to this, because there's nothing outside me. And a part of my mind knows that is seeing peace right now instead of this. So I want to align with that part of my mind. I want to let go of my block to that part of my mind. Mm-hmm. I want to change teachers from the ego to Jesus, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And something that just kind of went through my mind is from the old Christian days, I guess, and that is the word repent. It was always intriguing to me that repent, I may be a little off on this, but basically it's of the same kind of word class family that means to turn around and go back, to repeat, to turn around, to repent of something is to turn around and go back. And the reason I like that is because, once again, you know, it is what we do. Forgive, in a sense, is to go back and look and say, oh, I made this all up. This never happened. To go back to the beginning. And all of a sudden, I don't know why that went through my head, but it did. That it really is a matter of just turn around. Just stop in your tracks, turn around, and take another look.
Yes. Yep.
Go back. But,
I mean, the only thing I would say is that repent has that connotation of repent for the guilt.
Yes, I know it does.
In the Christian, and
yeah,
and,
it does.
And, but yeah, I was just saying that repent is that you know, has that connotation of guilt, and and I know that's not what you mean by
the
word.
But like I said, even when I was really, really studying the Bible and studying Christianity, I remember being intrigued because, of course, words have always been of interest to me. But I was intrigued that, like I said, the basic meaning wasn't about guilt. The basic meaning wasn't about judgment or beating yourself up. The meaning was go back. Just go back, turn around, and go back. And, you know, and there again, the prodigal son. Just, you know, there is no judgment. When the prodigal son returns, his father doesn't judge him and get all angry and lock him in his room for a week. He kills the fatted calf or whatever. He throws a big party. You're back. That's all that the father can see is you're back.
Right. Yep.
So, but thank you for saying that. Yeah, because repent is one of those words. But on the other hand, just go back.
Right, and go back, you know, in this case, the way that we go back really is to the mind, is from the body to the mind, and we go back to, again, that symbol, Jesus, Holy Spirit, of that loving presence in our mind that never took the tiny mad idea of separation seriously.
Right.
There's nothing to repent for, there's nothing to, atone for, nothing spent. And the atonement principle in the Course is used differently too, which is simply the principle that nothing really did happen to separate.
Yep.
You know.
You can't fix what's not broken.
Yeah, right. It's again, you know, God's will remains undisturbed. We, you know, not one note in heaven's song was missed, the Course says. So, do you want me to read the next one?
Uh-huh.
So certain it is that all distress does not appear to be but unforgiveness. All distress, so all problems, as we were saying. Yet, that is the content underneath the form. It is this sameness which makes learning sure, because the lesson is so simple that it cannot be rejected in the end, despite our resistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one can hide forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms, and yet is recognized as easily in all of them, if one but wants to see the simple lesson there. Forgive and you will see this differently. Right, there it is again. Yeah. So you see this with me, Jesus is saying. You will see this as I do, as for the nothingness that it really is, that you've been making into such a big deal, is really nothing. Right? Not one note in heaven's song was missed. And no one's really guilty here. You know, God still loves us. We're still one with God. And we're going to find, you know, the Course uses this moment by moment, tries to get us to begin to practice this moment by moment so that the guilt begins to dissolve enough that we eventually, you know, integrate this into, it kind of eventually replaces the thought system of the ego, and we sort of become the Course's thoughts, you know.
Uh-huh.
We begin to generalize this into all circumstances. We really begin to know that there's no hierarchy of illusions. It's that sameness. All problems have the same answer. All of my reactions are invitations to the Holy Spirit, to healing my mind. You know, if I so choose to make them. I have two choices in every situation when I find myself upset, disturbed, you know, reacting to anything outside me, feeling unfairly treated. And that is to either use it to root myself more deeply in the dream and become more defensive and, you know, reinforce the ego thought system of one or the other, or I can use it to take another step toward awakening, toward healing my mind.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. and there again, that line about the temptation to see myself unfairly treated. Mm-hmm. Is that not just the bottom line of almost everything?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, it's almost funny, you know, and yep. What's coming to mind is you're familiar with this whole phenomena of what they call the Karens.
No.
Oh, well, you might be, maybe you're not. It's this idea that there's this, and it has to do also with so much video. You know, when people can tweet or put up a picture and put up a video, you know, or you're walking down the street and you can shoot something. But Karen is this idea of a woman who, I mean, they say they don't even know exactly where it started. But the idea that she's always kind of butting into somebody else's business or unfairly treatment, you know, she's always the one who's going to fix it all. So the Karen, I mean, there's all these videos out and they always call the woman Karen. And one of the most, well, it's kind of funny, but it's funny for me because I'll tell you, sometimes I think how easily that could have been me. You know, right. and it goes to this entitlement or being unfairly treated. And like the typical ones that I'm sure you've heard of is like the woman in Central Park that didn't have her dog on the leash. And when the guy asked her to put her dog on the leash, she went ballistic. Mm. Do you remember that one? Did you see
no.
that one? Oh,
well,
maybe you're doing a good job of staying out of the news.
It
became viral because she, you know, once again, it was about entitlement. She's in Central Park. She doesn't have her dog on a leash. And there is a man there who is a bird watcher. And so he said, will you please put your dog on a leash? So she goes ballistic and how he can't tell her what to do and blah, blah, blah. So he gets out his phone and starts videotaping her. And because she basically is kind of threatening him. And so he starts videotaping her, and she gets really angry and is saying, if you don't stop that, if you don't put that away, I'm going to call the police and tell them that a black man is assaulting me.
Huh.
And he goes, please call them. And so that's what she does. So he's videotaping her on the phone as she's going, a black man is assaulting me and my dog. He's threatening us. Come right away. This is where we are. Well, of course, you know who got in trouble? Her.
Right.
And because it was considered a hate crime, you know, a racial crime.
Yeah.
And the guy was doing nothing other than wanting her to put the dog on the leash. But there's just video after video after video. And they're not all women. I mean, and I don't remember the male equivalent, but it's just of people, it's entitlement. And or, I mean, where I was coming from is this sense of you're taking advantage of me. You know, mm-hmm. you are somehow you're victimizing me and
right.
I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
Right.
But what's happening, of course, is that, you know, and now with masks, there's videos all over the place because
yeah.
people going into stores and, you know, you can't make me do this. And, you know, I just feel like I'm talking about myself. Like I said, I think how often could that have been me? You know,
right.
throwing a fit about what's right and not what's not right and
well,
you
right.
know, getting
we're
on my
Karens,
high
yeah.
horse. And, yeah, we're all Karens. And, you know, or just how easy it is to fall into poor me. You know, how victimized I am. You know, what's not fair in my life. It's like, and maybe I'm projecting, maybe that's not other people's issues, but boy, is it my issue, you know?
Right. Well, it doesn't matter what the issue is. Everybody has an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're the center of our dream, you know? We're the hero. Right. We're the hero of the dream, the Course says. And you know, that we forget that we're the dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we're choosing this content. So, so again, not the, you know, not the actual form of the content, but the content of unfair treatment, of being unfairly treated. We all want, really secretly want to be unfairly treated so we can feel less guilty.
Yes, and we can point and say that person is so much
worse
than me.
And blame somebody else. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
That's the name of the game. That's how we think we win.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so I'll read the next one, and I'm going to start with the line that is repeated. Forgive, and you will see this differently. These are the words the Holy Spirit speaks in all your tribulations, all your pain, all suffering, regardless of its form. These are the words with which temptation ends, and guilt abandoned is revered no more. These are the words which end the dream of sin and rid the mind of fear. These are the words by which salvation comes to all the world.
Yeah. So again, it's every circumstance, right?
Uh-huh.
We practice this in every circumstance.
Yep. Forgive and you will see this differently.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it ends all, these are the words with which temptation ends and guilt abandoned. You know, that guilt that we're always trying to reinforce over believing we separated from God is revered no more. We let it go. These are the words which end the dream and rid the mind of fear. These are the words by which salvation comes to all the world, you know, and we practice it over and over and over again until our mind is healed and the guilt is gone. And then we're back where we started, you know. Mm-hmm. There's no block to our awareness that we never left God anymore.
Yes. Well, and I hear you flipping pages. So were there a few other paragraphs that you wanted to make sure we read?
I think so. Let me read the next one, and then I think maybe paragraph 9. But shall we not learn to say these words when we are tempted to believe that pain is real and death becomes our choice instead of life? Shall we not learn to say these words when we have understood their power to release all minds from bondage? These are the words which give you power over all events that seem to have been given power over you. You see them rightly when you hold these words in full awareness. And do not forget these words apply to everything you see or any brother looks upon amiss. So we really need to learn to generalize this and apply it in all circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a hard time doing that. We think we have a hierarchy of illusions. You know, some things we can forgive and some things we can't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really all of a piece. You know, all of this that we're experiencing, seem to be experiencing as our tribulations, is all part of our dream of suffering.
Right.
Of punishment over believing that guilt is real. So,
yeah. Yeah, and the next paragraph I think is particularly good. How can you tell when you are seeing wrong or someone else is failing to perceive the lesson he should learn? Does pain seem real in the perception? If it does, be sure the lesson is not learned, and there remains an unforgiveness hiding in the mind that sees the pain through the eyes the mind directs.
Mm-hmm.
And the first sentence of the next one is, God would not have you suffer thus.
Right.
You know, he would help you forgive yourself.
Right. We need to take 100% responsibility for our reactions again. Nothing outside us can take our peace away.
Right.
Nothing. And if it is, then we chose to let it. The Course is uncompromising on that.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it isn't, you know, I mean, and we're not, we shouldn't beat ourselves up. I mean, because we came here because we wanted to suffer. So, you know, this is, we have to unlearn what we've taught ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Ego thought system. Yeah. So we're replacing it with another habit. The happy habit of forgiveness.
Yeah.
At some point in the Course, it says.
Yep. Right? Resign as your teacher. You have been badly taught.
Right.
Exactly. One of my favorite lines.
Yes, exactly. If we have time, I'll read paragraph 9, and then maybe we can stop with that.
Yep.
All things are lessons God would have you learn. He would not have an unforgiving thought without correction, nor one thorn or nail to hurt his holy son in any way. He would ensure his holy rest remained untroubled and serene, without a care, in an eternal home which cares for him. And he would have all tears be wiped away, with none remaining yet unshed, and none but waiting their appointed time to fall. For God has willed that laughter should replace each one, and that his son be free again.
Mm-hmm. And I want to read the very last paragraph. It starts with, "I will forgive, and this will disappear. To every apprehension, every care, and every form of suffering, repeat these self-same words. And then you hold the key that opens heaven's gate and brings the love of God the Father down to earth at last to raise it up to heaven. God will take this final step himself. Do not deny the little steps he asks you to take to him." It's wonderful.
That is.
Isn't that the last?
I lost you there for a minute.
It was. Yes, yeah, I think it's the very last. It's the very last paragraph.
Yep.
I mean, unless I just made that up.
No, I found it. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and of course, God will, you know, this isn't literal. It's the final step has already been taken because nothing really changed. But that this is a, you know, this is a healing fairy tale that Jesus is telling us, right? Do you practice forgiveness, but, you know, make your life a classroom with me as your teacher, you know, begin to develop trust in this and you know, let it become a habit for you and replace your bad habit of believing you're unfairly treated. And, and you know, your mind will heal and you'll remember that everything's okay.
Yes. Well, and I was reminded of an old joke of a man who goes to a temple and he just pleads with God to give him money and to let him win the lotto. And I don't remember the whole joke, but it kind of goes, you know, how he just repeatedly goes to the temple or the church, "Please, God, let me win the lotto." And finally, one day he hears a voice and God says, "Buy a ticket." I mean, that's the punchline. And that all of a sudden came into my mind, because I think when it says to every apprehension, every care, and every form of suffering, repeat these words, you know, the key is there. It's, right. You know, you're not far away from it, but I need you to remember to select the other teacher. I need you to reach out your hand. I need you to remember, you know, to remember the truth, and I can't make you remember it.
Right.
You've got to buy the ticket.
Right. That's why we have to practice making this a habit of questioning the cause of what, where we're putting our, you know, blame. Right? We're wrong.
Yes. So. All right. Well, that was a great lesson, and I know I say this a lot, but I particularly needed it today.
So, I think every day we need it.
Yeah, every day is the same, especially
every
now.
Moment, every
day
hour,
is the same.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, and I would ask if you have any announcements that you'd like to make before we close the show today.
Not really. I have a new post, a blog post at foraysinforgiveness.com, my website. So, you know, people could go there, and there's lots of new videos and audios and things like that. So, yeah.
And you are available now. Your weekly Tuesday group is available by Zoom invitation.
It's actually by Skype.
Skype.
Yeah, and I would encourage anybody to contact me first, just to make sure that, you know, that it would be a good fit for them.
Yeah, okay. And how do they contact you? Do you want them to go to your website?
Yes, that would be great.
Okay,
yep.
And Susan's website is www.forayesinforgiveness.com. That's Forays. Foraysinforgiveness.com. So you can contact Susan there if you're interested in participating in that virtual Skype class that's every Tuesday night. And right now you're working on the manual for teachers?
We are, yes.
Okay. All right. And then what have you got queued up after that? Do you know?
You know, I'm not really sure, but if the class will keep going. I haven't really decided if I'll go back to, you know, just randomly picking from course material, or if we'll do the pamphlet or the song of prayer or the psychotherapy, but we'll keep going.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that, Susan. I really appreciate it. It has been wonderful speaking with you today. So
you too. Thank you
for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
our show for today. I want to thank you all for joining me here on A Course in Miracles and for making A Course in Miracles part of your day. My guest today was the incredible Susan Dugan, who is such a mentor to me. I love her. Her books on forgiveness, I have participated in that Tuesday night class that we talk about. So I would encourage you that if you're interested in kind of hooking up with people, you know, in the virtual world and talking about A Course in Miracles, you might want to check that out. And Susan said that you can find her and find that particular class, get more information, by going to her website, which is www.forayasinforgiveness.com. And forays is forayas, inforgiveness.com. So I would encourage you to do that if you want to hear more Susan or participate in those live discussions on Tuesday evenings. I would also always encourage you to go to the Foundation for A Course in Miracles, which is www.facim.org. Now, I noticed Susan had mentioned that if you go to that website, that you can listen to each of the 365 daily lessons. Now, personally, I haven't done that, but I'm going to go over there and check it out. But I would also remind you, I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but years ago, the 1-2 Listen Advisors, as well as a few other people associated with this particular group, we all agreed and took turns and we all read and recorded each of those 365 lessons. And do you realize those are still up on the 12radio.com website? So if you go to 12radio.com, and if you look for the on-demand section and look for ACIM, rather than looking for my name, look for ACIM, you can literally listen to any of those 365 daily recordings of one of the advisors reading the lesson for the day. So you might want to check that out. I used to do that quite a bit, and I'd almost kind of forgotten about it until Susan had mentioned that you could listen to the lessons on the Foundation for A Course in Miracles website. So go to the Foundation or go to the on-demand section of 12radio.com, and you can listen to those every day. So that's a really cool thing to do. So before we end today, though, I would like to remind you that this is C.A. Brooks, and I am an advisor at 12listen.com. So if you'd like to talk to me individually, you know, about astrology, tarot, A Course in Miracles, anything going on in your life, or just get, you know, a different perspective, a spiritual perspective, maybe a psychic perspective, then please come find me on 12listen.com. I'm usually there in late afternoons and evenings, but if you don't find me as available, and or if there's a specific time that you want to talk, I'm generally available. My schedule is very flexible. I do this full time. So I am very flexible and available, other than on Monday and Tuesday mornings when I do my live radio shows. Those are the times that are always blocked out every week. But ordinarily, if I get a little heads up, then I might be able to talk to you. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask for a specific day or time that's good for you. And you can do that in a couple of different ways. You can go to the 12listen.com website and you can message me there and say, hey, this is a time I want to talk, or this is what I want to talk about. Or you can request a scheduled call. So I would encourage you to do that. Don't look at the site and go, oh, she's not available, because I really might be if I know that you want to talk at that time. I do a lot of writing on my computer, and I do a lot of consultations, and sometimes I'm online and sometimes I'm not. But just because you don't see me doesn't mean I'm not available. So I want you to know that. And I also have a lot of colleagues and friends who are over at 12listen.com. So I would encourage you to check them out too. I mean, these are the times that you really want to be talking to people. You know, you really want to be connected with the voices that are going to be uplifting, or that are going to kind of cut through some of the crap. I guess that's the way I'd put it. So I would encourage you to, you know, stay in touch with the people at 12listen.com. And of course, think about the hours and hours and hours of spiritual radios, you know, radio shows we have here on 12radio.com. You know, you can listen even when we're not live, which we're usually live, you know, Monday through Friday, And although right now I'm not sure what we've got on Fridays, it might be Monday through Thursday. Got a lot of show on a lot of shows on Tuesdays. I know that we've got a packed schedule on Tuesdays. But even when we're not live, do you realize that there's about 6 months worth of radio shows that are in our archives? And our archives are called On Demand. So if you go to the On Demand tab or section at 12radio.com, choose a different host, you know, whatever host you want to listen to, and then you'll see all the radio shows in a description of what they've got, you know, set up there. You'll find my Simple Tale shows, which are about astrology. You'll find 6 months worth of the ACIM shows. Like I said, all of the shows are archived there, and there's about 6 months. So I would really encourage you to do that. If that's a way you want to stay connected, cost you nothing but a little, you know, internet, you know, time, right? That's what it is. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for letting me just kind of go on and on. I so appreciate being able to connect with you every week and literally twice a week, as I also do my Simple Tales show. So I hope that you will take care of yourselves this week. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. Make sure you stay informed, stay safe, and spread hope. And don't forget those words that were in the lesson that we talked about today. Forgive, and I will see this differently. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about this classroom that we call life.
Hello, this is Katie Weaver, and I'm a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. I can help you with psychic readings, animal communication, energy work, mediumship, epigenetics, and so much more. When you call, don't forget to tell me that you heard me on the radio. If you do, I will send you 3 free minutes that you can use in the next 7 days. Come over and see me at 12listen.com.
Hey, Isabel here from 12listen. I wanted to wish you an enlightening summer. As we are shedding deeply embedded patterns on a global scale, remember that our souls chose to be here during this time. And if you need guidance, uplifting, or empowering words, you can reach out to me or any of our 12listen advisors. A few new ones joined us recently, so give them a try. We offer numerous services and classes, and you can always connect with us on 12radio or 12listen and 12academy. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, this is Kay Dragon from 12listen and 12academy. I would like to invite you to join me once a month for my Merlin meditation and channeling sessions on 12academy. Each session includes a channel meditation, and everyone in the class gets a personally channeled message. Please check out the schedule on 12academy.com.
Raise your hand if Saturn, the planet of discipline, structure, and organization, is your favorite cosmic ally. Okay, well, Raise your hand if Saturn is at least in the top three of your list. Not so much, huh? If Sirius sober Saturn leaves you cold, you're not in the minority. However, he's one of my faves. Mark Husson and I kind of have a private joke. When Mark looks at an astrology chart, he almost always starts talking about Jupiter, the planet of luck and benefit and expansion. Me? Saturn almost always grabs my attention. Want to know why? Well, you'll just have to tune into my radio show, Simple Tales, on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific to hear more about this subject. But here is a spoiler alert. Saturn stays in his sign for about 2.5 years, and guess what? 2020 is his year to make a move. He leaves Capricorn on March 21st and heads into cerebral and forward-thinking Aquarius. But there's almost always a but. Saturn only gets to 1 degree of Aquarius before it starts a lengthy retrograde and returns to Capricorn. We won't really see Saturn in Aquarius for real until December, sort of an early holiday gift, the third week of December. So much to talk about, and I promise it'll be fun. Well, it'll be fun for me anyway, and I hope for you too. This is C.A. Brooks, host of Simple Tales, where astrology rocks on 1-2 Radio. Don't be left out in the cold. Join me Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on 1-2 Radio.
Are you feeling the urge to learn something new? The classes on 1-2 Academy are just the thing to expand your mind and make your heart sing. Check out what's available and pick one to try. You take them over the phone, so it's easy as pie. The classes are all recorded, so don't worry about timing. Too bad there's not one that teaches rhyming. 1-2academy.com. Learn something new and have some fun.
Hello, my name is Caroline. I'm an angel intuitive and a health intuitive. And I've been working with people to help them release the issues that are making them ill since 2005. I find that often people are unaware of why they are ill. Since I've been working on 1-2 Listen, I've had clients call and ask me about their health issues, which of course I'm happy to help them with. But if you're interested in removing these blocks, then you're welcome to look at my email-based healing sessions, and this is where the real changes can be made. I'm not a doctor, nor am I qualified to diagnose or discuss your medicines, but I can help to alleviate some of the symptoms by helping your body to recalibrate or realign and work out for itself how to heal. I can work on individuals, on families, on groups of people, on businesses, and on animals. If you're wondering why you are not feeling 100% or you're stuck in a pattern and do not seem to be able to move forward, can I suggest that you take a look at what I'm offering and let's find a way to help you move forward together. Look for Caroline N on 1-2listen.com, and I very much look forward to working with you and helping you to move forward.